And it is a Getaway Friday here on WGH Talk, Friday, October the 17th, 2025. 15 minutes past the hour, you're tuned into the Pastor Spot here on WGH Talk Radio. Pastor Whitaker will be joining us within the next 10 minutes, so we will wait for that. But, Matt, what's new? What's going on tonight on your program at 10 o'clock?
Well, we're going to talk about, there's going to be a little bit of politics, but, you know, mainly football. There's some more about the halftime show, as always, but I don't even know if it's worth talking about. It's all the same stuff, always. It's just different people saying it. But, I wanted to talk about that, talk about the shutdown, talk about football, you know, that kind of stuff.
Day 17 of
exciting,
the shutdown.
Exciting, isn't it?
Well, it's going right along.
And nobody, is anybody even making any ground?
I don't think so. The only person I've heard who has said anything about it is Marjorie Taylor Greene, who has said we need to come together on something and that the Republican men are weak, which I thought was very interesting.
Well, I think his first name is John Fetterman. He blamed the Democrats, but he is a Democrat. He said that he thought it was wrong when the Republicans did it, and now he said that his party, being the Democrats, is driving it, and he says that he feels like that is wrong.
Did he say why?
I can pull up the quote again. I mean, I don't have the full quote memorized, but let's see if I can find it. But, I mean, let's see.
I don't know. Isn't this the guy who ran against Dr. Oz?
I didn't know.
I'm pretty sure.
Dr. Oz?
Yeah.
I was unaware that Dr. Oz ran for anything.
I think Dr. Oz ran in Pennsylvania for a Senate seat.
Wasn't that interesting?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this was the race.
Well, this is a different quote, but I guess it explains why he voted in favor of extending the thing. He said, "It's a sad day for our nation. Our government shuts down at midnight. I voted A to extend the ACA tax credits because I support them, but I won't vote for the chaos of shuttering our government. My vote was for our country over my party. Together we must find a better way forward."
So what's he for?
Well, I guess he said that he was in favor. I voted A to extend the ACA tax credits because I support them.
Right. Well, isn't that why they shut it down? Because the tax credits were about to expire in October?
But he said he also won't vote for the chaos of shuttering the government.
So that's what I'm saying. What is this man for?
I mean, I think because he voted in favor of... I guess because there are two bills that they're trying to, you know, pass because they're both funding bills. But one of them's, you know, Republican-backed, one of them's Democrat-backed, and I guess he's voted in favor of both of them, I suppose.
But aren't they contradictory?
I guess, but I think he just wants the government open back up.
Does he? I mean, because he said...
I mean, that's my understanding.
I voted for the extension of the...
ACA tax credits,
yeah.
Because I support them.
But yet... Shutting the government, if they left the government open, it would have went away. Okay, so we'll figure that one out. We're joined here on this Friday, always a pleasure to be joined via telephone or in person, by Pastor Steve Whitaker. Pastor Whitaker, how are you?
Good. How we sound over there?
We sound great.
Oh, good. That's good to hear. I'm actually doing something I'm not supposed to be. I'm like a block from the church. I looked at the time and I got called to die. So I'm on my phone. Don't tell anyone.
I won't.
We just sold half the world, didn't we?
And we did.
Probably our prospect officer where I'm at is listening to the show right now. He was waiting on me down at the church.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, interestingly enough, our guest for the first 2 hours this morning were Larry Barnett and Brian Egler.
Oh, good. Did you have a good visit? Was it about the park?
Yep, about the park. We had a great conversation and exactly what the levees were all about and what they would do, and had a great two-hour conversation with them this morning.
Oh, that's fantastic. And the levees were good. I'm sure he explained that to you. This is a solid levee that we really need.
Yeah, and it's very interesting, which I did not know until this morning, but really this would be less than a dollar a week for both of them, the new levee and the renewal levee, on a
exactly.
Home of a... Yeah, of a $100,000 home.
Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
So, you know, we're talking about one cup of Starbucks a week. Actually, probably less than that.
I think less than that, yeah.
So, anyway, how's everybody doing?
Everybody's good.
Yeah, we've been in the middle of getting the church painted and another building painted that we have, and it's just been jump, 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 it seems like. And guess what else we're getting ready to do? We're all getting ready to just about wrap up our football seasons.
That's right, and tonight it really feels like football season.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Tonight, we're hoping we finish well. We've had kind of a rough year. You know, when you're a small enough school that most of the guys play both ways, the problem that you run into is that by this time of the season, these guys are beat up.
Yeah, it's been a long, long year. How has Elgin done this year?
Well, about half and half.
Half and half?
You know, not quite, actually. Well, you know, we've had some good games. We've had some close ones. We had a nail-biter a couple weeks ago with Hardin Northern, and it was kind of, I think it was Hardin Northern, and they, at the end of the game, we were ahead. There was only a minute and 17 seconds left. Something to that effect. And they threw a pass downfield that our guy defended, knocked away, and it landed in the arms of one of their guys. And he ran it in for a touchdown.
My gosh.
What's the odds of that, right?
What are the odds of that? That's a rarity.
But you know what? It happens. So, what do you want to talk about, Scott?
Well, you know, we had some interesting conversations here the last couple weeks, and I think what they've all come down to is society today, are we tolerable of other people's thoughts? I think has really been the underlying theme in almost every program we've done.
You know, it really has been, hadn't it? I guess that's been something that's been kind of heavy on my heart is, you know, I'd love for people to believe what I believe, because what I believe is right and is good for them. But I realize, too, that not everybody believes that way. And while I would love for them, too, I can't to believe what I believe. I can't control what they believe. I can be a good example of what I believe. In other words, try not to be hypocritical. Be a good example of what I believe. And I can share that message clearly. And but that's all I can do is share that message. Why we get so angry, you know, here's the thing, Scott, say that you know, I believe as I do, especially about, you know, the Lord and Jesus Christ, I believe that he's the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And you know, I desire, you know, for you to know that. Well, say that I tell you that and you're just completely, you know, an agnostic or an atheist or whatever. I don't want to hear it, you know, just mind your own business, or maybe even another religion. Anyway, now, if I get nasty with you over that, what's the odds of me ever being able to come back and convince you that what I believe is the right thing for you and good for you? You see what I mean?
Well, yeah, and that's the interesting point, because I'm always curious when somebody states what their opinion is. When you immediately come across negative in the opposite direction, even if you do believe the opposite, you know you're creating an argument. And maybe this is an interesting topic for us this week, because earlier this week I was having a discussion. Because obviously this is a talk show, if you invite a guest on your show and you have a very, very specific belief that you espouse, and you invite that guest on who you know believes completely different than you, I think all you're doing, you're not really trying to get information out. What you're trying to do is create an argument. Now, if you are not going to express your opinion and you're just going to have a discussion, I think that's where the information comes out.
Yeah, right, I agree.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a difference between there's a difference between opinion and debate. And we have to decide, are we giving our opinion or are we debating? Now, even in the realm of religious thought and religious belief, there's a time and place for debate, and debate's important. But we have to decide what we're doing at the time. You know, when you're debating something for someone and something, first of all, they need to know what you're debating going in. You need to be on an equal playing field. And you both have to be willing to put what you believe and maybe what you have to back that up forward. And then people have the right to look at that and to weigh in on that. That's a good common debate. But there's a difference between baiting and debating.
Exactly. And you know what's interesting?
Sometimes they bring people in just to bait them, and that's not the way to do journalism.
No, and you know what's interesting, and this has nothing to do with politics, and I'm not even going to say what the interview was, but recently there was an interview that I heard on one outlet, and I heard the same person interviewed about the same subject on another outlet, and they were completely different interviews, even though the subject matter was the same. It's because one approached it as, tell your story. Tell me your story. I want to hear what your story is. And basically the person doing the interview was just there to keep it moving. You know, okay, what happened then? What happened then? What happened then? In the other format, the person doing the interview was telling what they thought about it and why they thought it was good or bad or what they thought should have happened and were making accusations. And even though it was exactly the same subject, completely different interviews, and it shows.
Well, there's productive interviews and then there's provocative interviews. And some people are going for provocative to raise viewing numbers. Viewership and other people are going for productive, which is something that is worth your time and worth your while. You know, I think sometimes that you have to get away from the angry zealots in your camp in any side of things, because you can't have honest conversation and debate without having a discussion, a talking. You know, when Jesus taught, and we know, you don't believe in who Jesus was, which I pray you do. There's no question that everyone knew him as a good teacher. But when Jesus taught, he always usually used parables, and he used things people could understand. And you know, when someone's demanding their way and shouting people down, you know, or just really lecturing, I should say. 90% of what they do is lecture, and maybe 10% of what they do is conversational, is relational. And when Jesus taught, he taught just the opposite. He taught more relational than he did lecture. And that should give us all a lesson on how we need to teach. People learn, listen, and remember in something that was a good experience. And when someone has a bad experience, it makes them so angry. Sometimes it even gets worse over time. And it just really, it doesn't make sense. But, you know, one thing, you know, Americans out there, I asked you guys a couple weeks ago if you would stand up for these kids that were being exposed to pornography and all that kind of stuff. Well, maybe there's something else I'd kind of like you to stand up against. We need to tell our politicians to watch their mouth. I am not impressed by anybody using nasty language. It shows lack of intelligence. It shows maybe not lack of understanding decorum, lack of understanding. I shouldn't say intelligent, because we do know some people that are extremely intelligent and use pretty bad language. But it shows, I'm not sure, I just think it's tacky. We don't need to go there. We can express ourselves without using filthy language. And I've been seeing that, you know, listening to different news clips from different politicians and people. And I'm thinking, you know, guys, we as American people, they work for us. We need to tell them, look, if someone came into a job interview for me and sat there dropping the F-bomb every other minute, you honestly think they would get the job? Even if it was a secular job, no, they wouldn't. And they work for us. We should demand that they have some decency.
You know what's always interesting to me about profanity is that people will tell you it's how they speak, but they do know how to turn it off and turn it on, because there are people who I have worked with in settings, certainly being in the school districts, in which you cannot use that language as a professional in those districts. And it, all of a sudden, when they're in those districts, they don't use that language. But when they're outside of that district, or they're in a room where they know certain people are not going to hear it, all of a sudden it kicks in. So you know they can turn it on and turn it off. So I wonder why they turn it on.
Why they turn it on?
Yeah.
They think it's a bridge. They think that it maybe it enforces what they're saying, or maybe, excuse me, maybe it enforces what they're saying, or maybe it eases the situation, like, hey, I'm just like you. I don't know.
Yeah, it's always, I'm always fascinated by that, because I know some of the people who have some of the most rough language in the world who do work in the school districts, but they can go all day long, and if they are in front of kids, they will never even use the slightest bit of profanity, yet if they are in a room with just other teachers where they know it's okay, they will use some of the worst language that they can.
Yeah, I'm sure you see that. You know, I think that excuse me a minute. I think that you know, a lot of times you'll hear adults do it with kids in a coaching situation. And I think they're just trying to, you know, hey, this is how the kids talk, and this is how I'm going to talk, because that way I can relate to them. I don't buy that at all. I think that we have a responsibility as adult leaders and coaches and different things, as parents, to teach our kids what's right and, you know, what's decent. Those things that are, you know, the Bible says to, you know, and draw close to those things, essentially, that are pure and holy and decent. And, you know, we're not supposed to walk around like a bunch of monks, but we are supposed to have an image of not being somebody that's dirty and rough on the edges. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's right. And it was kind of interesting because, you know, in the 2 hours that Larry and Brian were here this morning, Larry and I, of course, got into the story of the 1975 World Series call, with the World Series upon us here in the autumn, and talking about the 1975 call that he made in Boston that got him all of the death threats in the national news,
yeah,
and so on and so forth. And what was interesting to me, I mean, I've heard that story before, but just hearing it this morning and being on this discussion, you know, I mean, the man had death threats. The man had to have Secret Service protection. The man had to got letters in the mail. I'm going to shoot your daughter in the mouth, he said. And they were going to kill him and kill his wife. And, you know, over a baseball call.
Over a ball game.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You know what it ended up giving Larry, though, don't you? Great stories for his own grandkids.
Oh, well, and you know, today he said today it's a funny story to tell, but he said, you know, it's at the time it was rough.
You know, several years ago, here's a funny one. Well, it's not funny at all. But several years ago, my son-in-law, before he played for the Married Man, I mean, you remember them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I loved going to those games, but he played for the Lima Thunder. And when he was playing for the Lima Thunder, there was a kid on the team by the name of Nathan Gale. Does that ring a bell with you?
I've heard that name.
Okay, Nathan was on the team. He was kind of a loose cannon, really into hard, heavy rock metal music. And John tried to befriend him. And, you know, they in that type of football, they play out several different states and all over the place. John would give him a ride sometimes, and he'd been to John's house. Well, that spring, he wanted the position that John had, and John just kind of throttled him pretty good, you know what I mean? And he ended up quitting the team. But a couple of months later, he walked into the Alrosa Villa and shot Dimebag Darrell. And what was interesting, now you know who I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so something interesting about that, though, they got a hold of my son-in-law, John. They got a hold of the coach. This guy lived
in an apartment upstairs, inner city, in town apartment in Marysville. And when they went to his apartment and raided the place, they had found a hit list that he had. And John's name was on it, Coach's name was on it. And, you know, it really rocked John's world for a while because this guy knew where he lived. And he had little kids in the house. And who knows what would have happened if they hadn't if he hadn't gotten shot at the Alarosa, because he had a whole group of people he was headed to take care of. And is that scary?
Well, it's the things that set people off. I mean, you know, we talked a little bit about Larry Barnett there, but I mean, you go back and you think about sporting events, kids' events. I mean, parents will come to blows now. I mean, you didn't see a whole lot of that 30 years ago.
No, and you know, here's a problem we really have going on right now is they're really having a hard time finding referees for ball games. And I don't know if you know this, but they've started a new program where they're getting ready to, and some schools have, in Ohio, where they're actually teaching, it's an accredited course in high school for seniors, and it's whatever sport there is, they're teaching officiating as an elective. And when they get that, they can then be able to officiate games. One of the reasons they did this was because they had a shortage of refs. Well, you know, these young guys in their 20s, or maybe some of them are just 19 or 20 getting out of school, you know, and they go umpire a baseball game, and on the way across the parking lot, there's some, you know, 35-year-old guy that's going to whip him. You know what he's going to say? He's going to say, I don't need this. You know, let someone else ref. And we're having real problems with shortages of refs. Now everyone's complaining about the bad calls, but I'll tell you something from my personal experience every week. When you got a 75-year-old ref out there that can't see across the field, you're not going to get the best calls.
Well, that's true. And you know, I can't imagine a child sporting event being so important to you that you would actually physically harm or verbally attack somebody you don't know, a referee.
You know why it is? It's because they're living that sport vicariously through their children. It's a reflection on them. They don't even realize it all the time. My kid's going to be great because, after all, I wasn't great and I wanted to be, but I'll be great because my kid's great. You don't even realize you're doing it. It's in the back of your mind, I think. But what other reason would you have to be so crazy about this stuff? My kids have raised many sports and active sports. And even, you know, this is funny, you may not believe this, but this even goes on in band. I can tell you some incidences with a couple grandkids of mine in band, not in a different school, that you think, wow, this is as bad as football. But yeah, parents get a little nutty over band too. And I think, you know, here we go back to why we're talking about this. Just like you said at the beginning, we're talking about having common decency with people and understanding and willing to let people speak an opinion and have a mind without always having to go to code red.
Which we go quick. We tend to go there quicker and quicker as the days go along. And I hate to be the one who blames everything on computers and cell phones, but I think the less we communicate, the shorter our fuses are, because we don't spend time talking to people.
Hey, I heard a couple polls this week. You want to hear that were taken? Not polls, but studies. one of them was, and this came from the Department of Education, that kids that, at least I believe it was Department of Education, kids that spend an hour on their computer a day, and my numbers may be a little bit off, score 4 to 5 points lower on average in school than kids that don't. Isn't that interesting?
Oh, I could see it.
And the lower scores go down as the time that kids spend on the computer goes up. How interesting is that study they did? Another interesting study, and this is that I'll just throw out there, but because I heard it, this kind of surprised me a little bit. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Bowling Green did a study, Bowling Green University. I'm thinking it was. Don't hold me to that. When they of the fatal and tragic accidents, the ones that cause bodily injury, over the in the last 2 years or a year, I forget which it was, they did a study of it, and of the ones that they would have to be the ones with bodily injury because they require blood tests, but 54% of them, 54% of them had quite a bit of THC in their system. Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting. You know, we had a conversation here this past week about Governor DeWine wanting to outlaw these hemp products, and he's holding up these Nerds, the candy.
Yes.
And, you know, I knew nothing about this. Now, this is how naive I am about things. I did not know that this was being dumped in products, but I also, see, I'm trying to do read-up on this now, because apparently it can't be sold in normal stores, but I'm still unsure of how this gets in a package of nationally known Nerds. Apparently it's put in there by the company, but only sold at certain stores. I can't believe, I don't know who owns Nerds, but it's a national company.
Well, no, most of them are actually packaged to look like those brands, but they're not.
Well, I say, some say that and some say not, and that's terrible.
It doesn't really matter. If it looks like Nerds, little kids are going to think it's a Nerd. If it looks like a gummy worm, they're going to think it's a gummy worm.
Well,
I personally believe, this is my personal feeling, I don't want it sold anyway, but if they're going to sell it, it needs to be done in the tincture, you know, with a dropper or whatever, or some other form that you can't make it into things that look like candy and gummies and gumdrops. And most of the time, that's the way they're buying it. And, you know, I was thinking about this the other day when the subject came up. I thought, wow, you know, I can see my little 2-year-old granddaughter finding one of those on the floor. She'd be in the emergency room if she, you know, they're like 10 milligrams a piece of THC. She'd be in the emergency room.
Well,
baby, be dead.
Well, you know what? Two things puzzle me about this whole thing, and maybe one is a good thing, but the one that puzzles me, which is not so good, is that I can't figure out, okay, these are only sold in certain places. So if you're selling to somebody who's over the age of 18 or over the age of 21, why do you put it in packages of Nerds? Why does that make it more interesting to somebody who's 18 or 21?
Good question, huh?
Yeah, I don't understand that.
Because the intended audience is not 18 or 21. They want them fully, they want those things to be a completely part of a kid's life by the time they hit 18 or 21, because they got them for life. I mean, these kids, trust me, these kids, 14, 15, 16, every one of them has access to gummies. I mean, if they want them, they have access. They just laugh when they say, well, how do you, and parents ask them, how do you get those? They think it's the dumbest question in the world because it's just so easy to get. And it doesn't catch anyone's eye, especially if it's in a candy package, right?
No.
You wouldn't think anything about it.
No, and the other thing about it is it's much like the topic we talked about a few weeks ago, which was pornography. You know, as I said, I really don't see that as much of a political issue because 99% of the people I ask, Democrat or Republican or independent, will say that they're not for that. They don't want to see that. And with this issue, which I think is very interesting, I mean, Governor DeWine is making it his issue right now because he's the governor and he's obviously a Republican, but every Democrat of any substantiation that I have asked about it is not for it. And a lot of them who voted for the legalization of marijuana are not for this issue. They're with Governor DeWine on this. So again, this doesn't seem to be political. This seems to be more about money, people making money off of this.
Yeah, and I think it's people not wanting people's rights messed with. But come on, guys. You know, it gets to be a point where it's kind of like, let's just throw this stuff aside and make sure we do the right thing. This is about our kids. It's not about people's profit. There's common sense. There has to be common sense in all this stuff. And it should be such a common sense issue that people can't package stuff like this and can't sell stuff in this way. That's it. Certainly when they were trying to get the legalization passed and done, they certainly didn't talk about how great this was going to be. And as far as this issue, though, I remember it coming up when it was they said they were going to be doing this stuff, and it was one of the arguments not to legalize it. Now they're doing it, so now we have to deal with who's doing it. But this should not, you're right, you know, none of these issues that you and I have talked about for the last month or so have had anything to do with partisan issues. They're decency issues.
They are, and you will find that most people are decent people. And I want to make this point because I think we've only said it once on the air. But, you know, we had the birthday party went on for Mary Ellen Withrow here a few weeks ago, and she was telling me that who sent her a handwritten birthday card, somebody she's never met in person, Jim Dressel.
Isn't that something?
There you go.
You know, I got to tell you, he's a good man. I've been to some conferences where he spoke, and he just oozes genuineness. You know that? And, you know, when he was, anytime you hear him in a press pregame interview and or even postgame, anytime someone in the press would try to slip something in for a negative response, he would always stop, measure the question, and turn it into a positive. I remember when Maurice Claret got arrested, you know, for the crimes that he did shortly after he was, you know, in that first year after he left Ohio State. And they were interviewing Jim Tressel for a game, and of course they had to pop off. Hey, have you heard about Claret? What do you think, Coach? You know, and you know, and he said, he stopped and he said, you know what? He said, I really love that young man, and I just prayed for the best for him, and closed the question out. You weren't going to get any, I told you so, you weren't going to, you know, they were looking for something to really hang on, and they didn't get it, because he always had a way of deflecting a negative and trying to make it a positive.
Well, and that's the interesting thing to me. You know, I'll tell you, I don't know if you got to see it, but this past week in the Marianne Star, they did the article on Mary Ellen's birthday. And, you know, who's one of the people in the pictures? Bob Taft, former Republican governor on one side, and Strickland, the Democratic governor, on the other. But as I just said, who sent her a handwritten card? Jim Dressel. And also, at the Little Brown Jug, you know, who greeted her with a hug? Governor DeWine. Now, you know, in those days, and I'm glad to see it's happening today in the midst of all the horribleness that we have, Democrats and Republicans who probably didn't agree on much policy-wise still liked each other as people, would exchange birthday and Christmas cards, would greet each other with a hug. Those were the good old days.
Look, a hyena and a lion aren't going to negotiate. You know, they're going to keep fighting for the same scrap of meat, and if they get a chance, kill each other. And the truth is, you can't negotiate with people in good faith and hate them. There's just too much hatred there. And you know, the days of, I think what we're missing, Scott, is we're missing the days of I know we've always had politicians, but I think we're missing the days of politicians that have a true conviction. Because if they had a really true conviction, they would want to get something done, and they would sit down and have a clear debate. But when it starts going to cussing and yelling at each other and calling names, and you're never gonna find common ground with that person. And I think that we used to have that. We used to have where politicians could get together. Certainly not. What was his name? Hamilton Burr.
Oh yeah, they didn't get along so well.
Didn't get along so well, but you know we had that decency, and well, here we go right back to it again. I mean, we've got, you know, how are you going to negotiate with someone that you can't even talk decently about? And I think that people recognize it with Mary Ellen, even though maybe they didn't like her politics at all, and that whole machine of that time. They recognize that her accomplishments, my word, she's been, you know, she started out on Marion School Board, or excuse me, the Elgin School Board. And, you know, then she ended up in of course, being our treasurer, and then state treasurer, and treasurer of the United States. I mean, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I, you know, she and Larry Barnett, to me, are very interesting because they both came back to where they were from. Larry Barnett could have lived anywhere. Mary Ellen could have lived anywhere. And they both came home and still are both here, thank goodness. And they have some of the greatest stories and have lived some of the best lives of anybody. And yet they are the most humble people. If you meet them and have a conversation with them about anything, they would do it. Larry Barnett is 80 years old now. And as he was going out the door, last thing he said, "Thank you, Scott, for having me on. If you need anything, give me a call." That's Larry Barnett.
And he meant that. He wasn't just blowing smoke.
No, no. And Mary Ellen's the same way. At 95, it's Scott. If you need anything, let me know.
Mary Ellen's interesting. You know, I was around her several years ago. I've been around her when she was not 95. And she hasn't changed much. I mean, really, she hasn't that much since I first met her. But I think that, this is a lady that was treasurer of the United States of America. That's as high as it gets in the world is treasury. And you can talk to her like she's like your neighbor sitting on a step. And that's part of that coming back. You know, these are people that you look at Barnett and different people, and I could name some more. You know, they have a job to do in their mind. They've decided what it is, and they're going to go do it. But they still have the values of the roots they grew up in. And they, why wouldn't they want to go back to that? Why wouldn't they want to retire in a place that molded them and made them? And I think when you see that, even if you don't agree with someone, their politics or anything else, or their religion, their faith, but when you see people do that, you believe that in their own mind, in their own heart, what they have done is genuine. You know, they weren't just always trying to chase a bigger and better thing and elevate themselves among the people around them. They just went to do a job to serve the people in a way that they felt they should.
You know, and I think that's why probably they both were successful in their fields was exactly that trait you just discussed.
Oh, of course. When you're genuine, you're going to be people are going to know that. I mean, you're going to go places in your business or what you're doing when you're genuine. It doesn't take too long for people to figure out a phony.
That's true. That's true. You know, they always say, you know, genuine people are a dime a dozen, but spotting a phony, you can do that a mile away.
Well, and the thing is, sometimes the phony, if they're willing to play ball, can go quite a ways in that business with the wrong people. You understand what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And there are some people that are not going to compromise for anyone.
No, but you know, it's so interesting to me, and I don't think the majority of people I don't think are so hard-nosed. I think probably it's higher than it should be, but I'm guessing about 20% want to argue. But most people, they might know that you disagree with them, or they might think you disagree with them, but they don't care. They like the person. They know that in a jam, you would be there for them. In a jam, you know, you could laugh with them. In a jam, you could have a good time with them. And
there's a couple that we know that eat at the same place Shirley and I do quite often. And we get along great. And you know what? You talk about different as night and day, especially in the realm of the political world. You know, we're at two other ends of the spectrum, but we're decent. We enjoy each other's company. And we got to get back to that. We've got to get back to that. Don't compromise your beliefs. Compromise your, compromise anything. Compromise the way that you approach people. I mean, compromise it in a good way. If you're someone that wants to lash out and always be right, back off a little bit. You know, listen to other people. You might actually learn something for a change.
Well, and you know what's interesting to me? We got about 7 minutes left here, but what's interesting to me is that I always feel, because obviously there are people who disagree, and if I sit back, because I do people watch, I'm interested in how people behave, and I'll watch people sometimes have a conversation, and I always notice if somebody gets hot-headed, or somebody gets angry, or somebody tries to over-talk somebody, I always know that person's a little insecure. If you're really secure in what you believe, you don't have to beat somebody over the head with it. You don't have to tell them all the time.
Well, you know, it's kind of fun, to be honest with you, Scott. to sit back and just listen to other people's opinions. When you know where you're at and what's going on, and sometimes it's fun just to listen to people without getting into that. We give a Bible study here on Wednesday night. There's a couple of them that go on in the church. The one that we're currently in, we'll go through different books in the Bible and talk about them and what's being said. Now, that's, it may seem boring to some, but when you're sitting at a table with 15 other people and everyone has a different background and a perspective on things, the conversations can be quite lively and fun. And yes, do we all leave agreeing on the same thing? Absolutely not. But it's fun to do. And, you know, you don't always have to be king of the hill. And some people just feel that if they're not lighting up the room, they really have insecurity issues. It's kind of like when you go on Facebook and you see somebody that says, I'm really having a bad day and I know no one loves me. You know why they're doing that? Because they want 100 people to hit and say, oh, we love you very much. You're so wonderful. Am I right? That's what they're doing.
And you know, it's so interesting you bring that up, because I saw a post the other morning, and you know, I honestly do not read a lot of, I don't scroll through, but if it's there when I bring it up, you know, I'll look at it. And I saw a post the other morning of somebody saying, you know, I've given up. It's I can't do anything. I can't make a difference. This is well, for you to write that and put that out there in front of people, you know, these are your friends. This is the old saying, you're speaking to the choir. You know what they're going to say if you write something like that. They're going to say, oh, don't do that. You have done a lot.
Before, dear.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what they're looking for. They're needing reassurance. But, you know, and I think that's the same thing with a conversational bully. They got to have the upper hand. And it comes in all forms. It comes in all forms. I had a couple one time that I had a disagreement with many years ago in the church about something that was very important doctrinally, but boy, they were going to stand firm on it. Well, suddenly they had to prove they were smarter than I was, which was dumb anyway. I mean, if you think about it, you know, or studying the Word of God, they didn't have to agree with what I was teaching. I was teaching, I believe what it said and was right, and they didn't have to get that worked up over it. But anyway, this next Sunday, they both showed up. And you know those little half glasses people will wear and put them down the tip of their nose, and you know, when they're portraying somebody that's deeply in study. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
They both showed up. This husband and wife sat side by side wearing those things. And I'm trying to preach. I'm going to lose my mind at this point. And from laughing is what I mean. But anyway, they were like looking at their Bibles and whispering back and forth. And it was total, they were doing it for total intimidation. They were trying to intimidate me, and it was just like, there was no intimidation there, but why do people feel they have to do stuff like that? Isn't that crazy?
Well, you know, it's funny. We must be on the same wavelength this morning, because it was a hilarious moment this morning that happened off the air, and I don't think he'd mind me telling this. But when Larry came in with Brian, Larry sat down and he got out his glasses, which were a pair of those glasses that, you know, you wear on the end of your reading glasses. And he got them out to look over his the information on the levy, so he'd have it right, and he wanted to go over it before we went on the air. And as soon as he put the glasses on, because, you know, Larry and I have done many interviews over the years, he looked at me and he says, Scott, no pictures today. I don't want people to know I'm wearing glasses. And then he let off a big laugh, and it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun. He's a genuine guy. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so important to be genuine. Hey, buddy, I got to go.
Hey, thank you, Pastor.
Love you guys. Have a great weekend. God bless you.
Bye-bye. All right, Pastor Whitaker will be with us again next week. We've got about a minute left in the program, and Matt and I will be back next hour for the Exchange Club here on WGH Talk, which is always a lot of fun. Always a great show with Pastor Whitaker. Always enjoy that. And he'll be back in the studio next week every Friday from 11:15 a.m. until 12 p.m. right here on WGH Talk. Always a good conversation. And remember again, the station streams everywhere on the website, WWGH1071.com, and you can download the absolutely free TuneIn app, any app store in the world, absolutely free, isn't going to cost you a penny. Search WGH Talk. You can put this station on your smart television, smartphone, tablet, anything you've got, laptop, Any device that is electronic, the TuneIn app will go on, and you can listen to this live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Somebody asked me that not too long ago. When are you on? We're on all the time. We never go off, so don't miss a minute of this station. Pastor Spot back next week. We'll be back in 15 minutes. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to The Place for the Best Guests and Talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.